one of my great regrets. Oh, it's a massive regret, actually. Never following through with my studies in school when it comes to European languages. I had the opportunity to study both French and Spanish. I went along to the class. I was there back and forward. I never listened. I never did my homework. And I was glad to get out of the classes and go and do something else entirely different. What a mistake that was. And I'm sure a lot of people who are my age do regret not learning a European language. It looks like as if, however, the opportunities that I had are probably not going to exist in the future for kids of this modern age. And that seems bizarre when it is much more, when Europe is much more accessible, regardless of Brexit, Europe is much more accessible than it was when I was a youngster. Let me speak to Jonathan Stewart. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
You are a director with the British Council for Northern Ireland. Jonathan, you carried out the research here. Well, what is it? What have you been finding?
Yes, Frank, that's correct. This is the first time the British Council of Northern Ireland has carried out this language trends research. And for us, it really was just looking at what is the current picture of language learning in Northern Ireland schools and how is it higher languages faring. So it's actually quite disappointing, you know, reading in terms of languages. They are continuing to decline, and there's some, you know, marked declines, particularly in French in A-level and GCSE. But for us, you know, there are things we can do about this, and, you know, we have to look at the positives and what we can do in terms of encouraging language take-up, but also looking at the positives of language in the classroom.
But why is there such a fall away from the young people studying it? Because, like, everyone's back and forward to mainland Europe now. Everyone's got friends who are from France or Spain. Whereas when I was a youngster, you might have gone on one holiday. You might have. And it might not have even been an annual holiday. You may have gone, like, two or three times in a decade to somewhere like France, but you were still encouraged to learn the language. I have many friends who are fluent speakers of French and Spanish. I so regret not availing of the opportunity that I was given free of charge at school. Why are the kids coming away from it now when it seems like something that you totally should be doing?
That's correct. Now, this survey was across both primary schools and post-primary schools across Northern Ireland. And the teachers are telling us, and the schools are telling us that at post-primary, that, you know, there are difficulties. People see that perceived difficulties in learning languages, and there are also some teachers have been telling us that they don't see a connection between languages and careers. And, you know, really our job is to try to unpick that and to look at what we can do about that. In primary schools, it's slightly different. People are saying there's not enough specialist language teachers for primary schools. So it's different between primary and post-primary. You know, it's something that, you know, for us, we can do something about. You know, the British Council is committed to languages. We have so many programs which encourage the take-up of languages, and also, you know, connections across Europe. There are programs where schools in Northern Ireland can link with schools across the EU and broader, where languages can be a focus of that project. And also mobility. We have programs where teachers and students can, you know, visit schools in other parts of the world. So there are opportunities there, and maybe part of it is really ensuring that those messages are getting out to schools. We all have a responsibility in that, including us here in the British Council.
Well, let's hope they're listening, and let's hope the Education Authority continues to encourage languages and that young people choose to follow through, unlike myself. I want to speak to Sharon Jones, a senior lecturer in education across the Strathmillan University College. Hello, Sharon.
Good morning, Frank.
So, Sharon, you will be bilingual, multilingual. What are your specialist areas when it comes to language?
Well, I have three languages, my own language, English and French and Spanish, Frank. But you're absolutely right. Languages matter enormously. And it's never too late to get back to language study. So your next project is waiting for you, Frank, to get back to contact some of those friends again and pick up your language study. But I think basically in Northern Ireland, this is a really important report published today by the British Council. And basically what we're seeing, the message is very clear. It's a little bit too little, too late in Northern Ireland. About half of our primary school children get no language provision at all, unlike their counterparts right across Europe and right across the UK region. And it's not really fair for our children in Northern Ireland. There's a real lack of equity there, that some children are getting a great deal. There's great work going on in many schools in Northern Ireland, but many children, too many children, are missing out.
Absolutely. And the suggestion in the conversation with Jonathan, with some teachers are who are advising on careers, are saying that languages may not be of great benefit to you in looking for a career. How inward looking is that? I actually know a person who has a couple of children. The children are now fully grown up and they are off in the big world, but they're only in their 20s. And they are from a bilingual family whereby one member of the family is from a European country. So the child grew up speaking that language. That child at 27 years of age is earning £52,000 a year in a job that the young person may not have got if they didn't have the fluency in that overseas language. So, you know, it definitely helps with careers.
That's right. It helps with careers, but it also helps, very importantly, with building children's communication skills, their confidence, their awareness of other cultures. And that's increasingly important in Northern Ireland. In our primary schools in Northern Ireland, we have over 90 languages being spoken, with all the cultures that those languages represent. So it's really important that our children understand that the world is bigger than Northern Ireland and that there are more languages than either English or Irish. It's important for the economy. It boosts language learning, boosts literacy skills, and importantly, it raises aspiration in young people. And primary schools in Northern Ireland, that's really important. But the key thing, Frank, really, is that unlike other regions of the UK and many of our counterparts across Europe, in our curriculum in primary schools, there's no statutory requirement for primary schools to provide language learning opportunities for children. So some schools do a great job and children are winners in those schools, and some schools provide nothing. So really, I think we need, that's one of the starting points. This is an important report today. We really need to respond to it. And one of the important places to start is showing curriculum leadership. Teachers need a framework, they need a guidance, and they need to be given that.
But if they if they can't afford to do it at primary school level, surely it's okay to start learning at 11.
But we can afford to do lots of other important things at primary school. This is a matter of recognising the value and the importance of language learning. And it is possible, but we need to work together as a region. We need a joined up approach between government, between education department, but also in initial teacher education, which is where I'm based. We need to build up teachers' language skills. And in my view, the best place people to teach languages in primary schools are qualified primary classroom teachers who know the needs of children at that age and who know the curriculum, but also they must have great language skills. So as Jonathan has mentioned, in both B.Ed primary programmes at Stromlois and St Mary's, our sister college, there are lively Erasmus Plus and international mobility programmes. So our students in year three can spend a semester, or a year in fact, in Spain, Germany, China, Hong Kong, for example, in my own college, because we have links right across the world, and we encourage our students to upskill in their languages when they're there. The difficulty is, unless languages are included in the primary curriculum, we're not as empowered as we need to be to take this forward in a really excellent way.
Okay, so one final question. This is probably the toughest one of all. The research shows that the young people feel the exams in languages are very, very difficult. Why are they so challenging, the exams? Surely learning the language is more important than being tested within, you know, an inch of your life with regards to what you know about the culture of the country through the language. Is learning the language not an easier thing to achieve than the in-depth examination of the language during the test?
Frank, you're absolutely right. We need fresh thinking around that. We need to. This report makes us sit up and think about what we're doing. A lot of work does need to be done around this area. I mean, one positive attitude can be encouraged by starting language learning younger. We know that even at nursery school age, children are very open to very active language learning, and they're like little sponges, they soak it up. So if we have positive mindsets developed at that age, and then importantly, carefully thought out transition between primary and post-primary school. And it needs to be regional, it needs to be right across the board. We need to think about the needs of our children. They do need to enjoy learning something to do it well, but they do need these really important global skills that children and young people in other regions of the UK and right across Europe and the world indeed are gaining, and they're losing out.
Okay. Sharon Jones is a senior lecturer in educational studies at Strathmillis University College. Thank you very much indeed. Your opinions on this are welcome. I'm going to speak to some people who have opinions. Also, Gemma McKenna at Queen's University. Gemma, I want to speak to you. We were trying to give you a call actually at Queen's on a return number, having difficulty getting through to you, Gemma. If you did want to ring us back, feel free, 028 90 333 105. Let me speak to Caitlin. Good morning, Caitlin.
Good morning, Frank.
Caitlin, are you bilingual?
Trilingual.
Trilingual, I like this. What are your three?
So I'm in final year, just actually finished my exam, so I study Spanish and Portuguese.
Very good. And why did you concentrate on Portuguese? Now, that's not one that instantly springs to mind.
Yeah, it's a strange choice, but it's one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life. I did French A-level and Spanish as well. And when I finished school, I felt like I'd taken French as far as I wanted to, and because of the growth in the Latin American economy, I felt like Portuguese would be an interesting choice because of the size of Brazil, and I had a real interest in going there. And so on my year abroad last year, I got the opportunity to go to Spain for 5 months to teach English, and then for 6 months in Brazil.
How good do you feel when you go through the likes of Rio and you can speak to the locals? How superior do you feel to someone like me who would be pointing at signs in a restaurant?
Like, I don't think it's much superiority, but I spent 6 months in Sao Paulo. But it's, you know, this myth that everyone in the world speaks English is just, it's completely that a myth. And if I didn't have the skills that I had in Portuguese, there's no way I would have survived the way that I did in Brazil. And to actually be able to form more than just communicate, because anyone can point to a menu, but I can actually form relationships with people that are really meaningful and get through and integrate myself into a community and not only impact the community, but be impacted. And I have friendships, you know, that I have for life with the Brazilians there. And it's all because of the language training that I've had at Queen's.
Yeah, so you went through Queen's University and you obviously studied your languages at school the whole way up. When were you first introduced to any of those European languages?
So my dad, actually, when I was younger, he read some study or someone told him that if you open a child's mind to a language before the age of four, it opens this part of their brain that, you know, otherwise would kind of stay dormant. And so he got a Muzzy DVD and I used to sit and watch it as a child. And I kind of learned the numbers in primary school, but I didn't have too much language education in primary school. But I went to Grosvenor Grammar School and had to learn French, Spanish and German from the age of 11. And it was that really sparked my interest properly in languages. But I think that formation of language experience when I was so young really helped me to gain an interest, kind of more so when I got to secondary school.
What an advantage you have, Caitlin. What an advantage. Thank you very much indeed. Connor on this line. Morning, Connor.
Morning, Frank.
Connor, how many do you have?
So I speak three languages as well, like Caitlin. I studied French and Spanish at Queen's. I've just finished my exams as well.
And did you find the exams very challenging? Because some of the young people say, especially at school, the exams are particularly difficult. Could they have been easier?
I mean, the thing is, obviously, when you first start a language, it is very daunting. It seems like nearly an insurmountable task in front of you, but the more you learn, sort of the more easier it becomes, and the more enthused that you become, obviously the more easier that it'll be. Grammar and things like that are something that you just have to learn. But in terms of an exam is really testing what you know. It's not wanting to find out what you don't know. They're not trying to catch you out. So although all exams are going to be challenging, I wouldn't say that language exams are any more difficult than any other exam. And definitely everybody's capable of learning a language.
Yeah, I sometimes wonder, am I capable? Because I'm not very musical, and I don't have a musical ear, and I can't sing, and I don't have the ability to hold a note. Am I at a disadvantage because of that? Is that maybe why I turned my back on it at 11 years of age?
Absolutely not, Frank. I think absolutely everybody is capable of learning a language. You know, learning a language is formulaic, like learning a science or learning any sort of mathematical subject. It's a case of learning your grammar, learning your vocabulary, and constantly practicing it. The same as learning a musical instrument. Practice makes perfect, like they say. So really, starting at 11 years of age, it's absolutely never too late. It's not too late for you now to go and pick up a language if you want to.
It's one of my regrets, Connor. It really is. And like Caitlin, I have an envy that is being directed towards you and Caitlin. I'm envious of both of you, is what I should say. Connor, thank you. Thank you very much. Imagine speaking three languages, being able to arrive in Lisbon or São Paulo or, you know, Madrid, Munich, you know, just as you please, just into Paris, speaking the mother tongue as opposed to groping your way through, as most of us do. And we all had the opportunity. And some of you who'll be listening availed of it, and you're now speaking to me in French or Spanish, whereas others like me sort of wasted our time. I would say to the youngsters of today, avail of that golden opportunity. To the education system, don't let it slip through your fingers. What an advantage it is to have a European language, or another world language indeed. So many, Mandarin is coming to the fore here too. Wouldn't it be brilliant to be able to converse in another world language? This is the U105 phone-in. If you're just joining us, you are very welcome indeed. Got to say good morning to Gemma, who's on this line. Gemma, you're a great believer that employability is added to by the presence of a language and having the talent to display a variety of languages.
Absolutely, Frank. I am a graduate of Queen's, and I did beginner Spanish there, and it was absolutely formative in my career choice. I went on after Queen's, and I ended up doing a master's in Spanish, and then I went off and did a graduate training program where a local company sent me off to the US on a big adventure selling shoes for cows across all sorts of places.
Selling what? What were you selling?
Shoes for cows.
Shoes for cows?
I know, who knew?
Which language is this now? You're talking to me in English and I've never heard of shoes for cows. Because when it comes to cows and shoes, that's something you do behind a cow. Shoe, go on, yo, shoe, shoe on there. What is a shoe for a cow?
I don't know. It's a special plastic shoe so that they could walk when they'd sore feet and then they produced more milk. So I had to do all sorts of presentations in Spanish to the Hispanic community and all the dairy farms across the place. So my Spanish was, who would have thought you would be doing that with your degree? And then after that, I ended up doing a bit of a career change, writing for a wine magazine and traveling all over France to nice chateaus, drinking champagne, and all over Spain and speaking to producers from across Latin America. So it really, languages has been phenomenal for me.
It's, you know, I'm of the mindset whereby the more I talk to particularly younger people on this program this morning, the more I regret my decisions from all those years ago, Gemma. And I've learned something, that there is a business in putting cows' shoes on, if not here, certainly in Spain or elsewhere.
Absolutely.
You're not pulling my leg about that job.
No, I'm not, honestly. Sure, you couldn't make that one up.
You couldn't make it up. In any language, you couldn't. Lovely speaking to you, Gemma. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. All the best.
There's another young woman advocating learning our languages. And hopefully they will continue to be to the fore in the education system. Unfortunately, it looks like as if they aren't to some extent, going by that latest report.